Hi, and welcome everybody to China on the Rocks, a podcast where we talk about China, F&B, and everything in between. My name is Logan, and I'm joined by my awesome co-host.
Hi guys, Anna here.
And we're sitting in the taco truck. We've got the taco truck actually working this time.
The aircon's on, the doors are closed.
Yeah, but normally in podcasting, you wouldn't say the aircon's on because people could hear it. But thanks to the use of AI, you won't hear anything.
And the imaginary blender that apparently Logan hears in his mind.
There was a blender. Two episodes ago, I said, guys, we've got to stop it. By the sound of the blender, we've got to stop the podcast. And our staff were randomly blending stuff. And it never happens until we're podcasting. So there was a blender going on. And everybody that knows us, like, they know what the taco truck looks like. It's not that far from the bar. There was a blender. I was exactly. Because when I put it through AI, I was like, oh no.
Nobody's... If you say so, Logan, there was a blender. Sure, there was.
Good backing me up, Anna. Good co-hosting. So how you been, Anna? What's going on with your life?
I've been good. Lots of changes, lots of things going on. I hear you are going on tour.
Yeah, I'm doing this with High Seas. I'm doing a Poor Decisions tour. So poor
lots is a pun.
Thank you. Poor is in P-O-U-R, Poor Decisions. And basically, I'm doing a lot of guest bartending shifts this month and actually the rest of the summer. So like tonight, this is a Friday, I'll be at the Rooster. So by the time this episode airs, I'll have already done that shift. Tomorrow, I'll be at Juanito's, which is super cool as well. By the time this episode airs, I will actually be bartending there tomorrow. So because we air on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Next.
Oh, wait, is it day shift tomorrow?
Nighttime shift.
Nighttime shift. So if you listen to the podcast, you can still catch Logan Saturday night.
Catch me outside. Hawk taw.
Just wanted to find a place to throw that in.
Well, that meme before that goes to die.
Because it's too old.
But we started the tour, our Poor Decisions tour. We started that at the Pearl Theater, which was an amazing, amazing F&B party we did. So I think there's going to be like a total of 10 that are planned out. So catch me on tour, on our Poor Decisions tour.
We'll keep you guys posted. And
speaking of Poor Decisions, Anna, what are we drinking today?
So we are cheating on our lover Jameson.
No, we love everything this season. This season, our thing was never to drink the same shot twice.
With his cousin.
So there is a history with this. But do you want to tell the name of the cousin?
The cousin is named Bushmills.
Bushmills. Is it George Bush?
Logan has a trend on picking on my accent. So
no, I wasn't picking on your accent. Okay, so cheers.
Cheers.
To Bushmills. Still got it. Okay, so what I like, this is the Bushmills 10. We'll include a photo on the Instagram. The cool thing about Bushmills, Jameson and Bushmills are very, very different. And Ireland has a whole history that we're not going to get into. Because as two non-Irish people, we don't want to obviously step on anybody's feelings or at all invoke anything negatively historical that we, you know, this is a fun, lighthearted drinking podcast.
We don't want to butcher the story.
We don't want to butcher the story, but yeah. Bushmills is made in a different part of Ireland than Jameson is.
Bushmills is made in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
It's part of the UK, and Jameson is from Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dublin, Ireland.
From Ireland. Ireland, which is not part of the UK. So, I mean, but that the difference with the, this is a 10-year-age Bushmills. And I think it's a really interesting flavor profile. Normally, Bushmills, like, you'd see it like a Jameson, served like an Irish whiskey.
It's a little drier. This one is quite sweet.
Yeah, I think Bushmills, I think it's a better way to explain it. It's a little bit drier than JMO is.
Yeah, but this expression, the 10 years, is quite sweet.
Yeah, so I wonder which oak they're aging in, because I'll look into it and find out. I think it's obviously on the bottle. But yeah, it's a very nice, like, how do you do shot for, how do you say it, Bush?
Now I don't know how to say it, Logan.
Bushmills. Yeah, Bushmills.
Thank you.
Just think, if you want to speak like an American, take out all the accent, all the vowels. Like, if we say... even the British, they say scallop, right? And we say scallops. Scallop. I was listening to
I think you're thinking about, like, aluminum versus aluminium.
No, that's a name. That's why. That's a whole story. It's a whole podcast to get into. There's a reason why Americans call it, and the British call
aluminum?
It.
Aluminum?
Yeah, it's a person's last name. Aluminium.
Aluminium is the element.
Yeah, but there's aluminum and whatever the British say.
The British say aluminium.
You're getting to my head with your Brazilian mind tricks.
Aluminium is how they say it, which is the actual element, and Americans say aluminum, but I don't know why.
Because we've been to the moon, bitch. Mic drop. Okay, so we had a fun podcast today. We were thinking about, like, I had to make this pun for poor decisions. And when you start bartending or start waiting or you're a floor manager or a chef, you don't have to think up puns. You think up how to make your recipes. You think up how to do your mise en place. You think about how to do your cutting limes. Now we're making up puns. And we're thinking, like, what are the other things that you have to do that you didn't expect to do in this industry?
Well, first of all, I'm going to disagree. I think the first skill of bartending is making puns. You put a pun on your resume and that's it. Hired.
Hired?
Hired. I'm looking at candidates. This guy wrote me, write me a river somewhere in his resume. And you're like, done. That's it. You're in.
Just about resumes, I got this hotel job in San Francisco at this place called the Campton Place Hotel. And I definitely have mentioned it before. And I got a job as the telephone operator. So that means, you know, hello, thank you for calling Campton Place Hotel. This is Logan. How may I assist you? And, you know, I'd transfer the number. And I made a spoof, because it's me, I made a spoof resume just to show my friends this joke around. And then I made, obviously, a real resume. But this is 2001-ish, 2002. So this is, you printing stuff is legit. You don't have anything digital, right? On what, like, I could send an email, but it's not professional. So I printed one to show, just to show my friends, that said I was in all these adult films.
Okay.
And they it was just like a body of work. And I was like, Honey, I F'd the Kids. Like, just really,
oh, okay.
A whole list of really, really just funny things, like parody names. And it was just, we were laughing at it, like, haha, it's so stupid. I had my real polished resume because I had worked in hotels before. But going to the big city of San Francisco, you know, you start at the bottom, you work your way up. I gave my wrong resume out.
No.
I got the job right away. The two managers were like these really sweet dudes. And they were like, after like 6 months, they're like, so Logan, show us the movies. We need to see the movies. And I was like, what movies are you talking about, bro? And San Francisco is so open-minded. Like, that wasn't the thing that worried them. They're like, you lied on your resume? And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, you said you were in this movie, that movie, this movie. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I didn't know the whole time I gave the wrong resume till like 6 months in. But then I already had the job, so I was good to go.
Yeah, but to be honest, if I was hiring a bartender and he sends me a CV, like a resume, and it's just cocktail puns, there's a whole page of cocktail puns, I would definitely hire that person. I don't even know if they are capable. I'm like, that's it. You've been here before. I feel like making puns is...
Well, she asked me for a cocktail, so I told her one. That's a cocktail pun. Okay, so puns, you thought was the thing we had to get into right away. You thought you needed to know that before you needed to know how to make like a vodka soda.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Very important.
Very important skill. Okay. I mean, for me, I know you're a graphic designer, which you went to school for, right?
Yeah, I've done a lot of starting school and ever finishing school, and arts was one of them.
Yeah, fair. Oh, fair enough.
Chinese was another, like all things I started and ended.
Like, I went to school for creative writing, so I guess the pun thing was kind of always like writing stuff or writing copy was never an issue for me. But I that's kind of what I like to do. But I didn't know how to do flyers and make videos, and these are all things you need to know how to do. Like, if you're a bar or restaurant, you guys know you're putting stuff out weekly. You have promotions, you have specials, and some people are fortunate they have a designer, but sometimes you need to save that money, right? And if you learn how to do the skill yourself, you don't have to tell somebody your vision. You could actually make your vision. Now, I'm looking at a terrible flyer that I didn't make in front of me, and it's something that I would have first made. Like, a lot of us use Canva. Anna uses Adobe AI because she's smarter than me. But like, when I started using Canva, I didn't know how to do anything, and then this is like 3 years later, I think I'm getting pretty good at it.
Yeah, I think that it's also different nowadays, especially the last like handful of years. The technology has really like come a long way to make things easier.
Yeah.
Because I think if it was 10, 15 years ago and you needed to get some stuff done, if you didn't have like a mastery in like Photoshop or AI, you basically just couldn't really. You just end up with some weird collage, right? So stuff like Canva, like for me, it's just, I know it's supposed to be easier and like point and click, but because I'm so used to doing things just directly, I feel limited. I feel like, why do they only let me do things this way? Or why do they only let me drag? You know, so I personally don't like it, but I think it's great for, again, you need to get stuff done. You can't wait to the designer. You can spend the money. They have great templates. It's pretty easy to use. You can learn. So Yeah, I think design is definitely something that you should know a little bit when you're running a bar or restaurant or anything like that.
Yeah, but it's one of those things they just don't tell you right away. But like, it's very important to have. I think the next thing that we all should have learned right away is bathroom plumbing.
Oh, definitely something that I learned. You know, I never had snaked a sink or drain before in my life. And like using pipe cleaners and things, like things that I've learned, like I feel like the only thing I've ever done was clean a toilet and plunge in my life. And then after being in a bar and restaurant, you just become a master of unclogging things. Not really toilets. Even just like those little pipes from like ice well stations that drain down, or like stuff on the, like drains on the floor, the bar floor drains and things like that. You just become kind of a handyman in all sorts. Electrical work.
Yeah.
Fuses and
light electrical I could do, stuff like that. Like it's one of those things where you could spend a whole lifetime not knowing how to do this stuff. And then you have to be in the bar and you're like, oh my goodness, how do I make ginger beer if I don't have ginger beer? I have to mix tonic and Coca-Cola. Like, you know, they have these weird mixtures you have to make. Have you ever heard of these things?
No, I have not.
Oh, there's like all this weird, interesting stuff. Like people have recipes how to make if you don't have Coke, I think it's either Coke is ginger and tonic, or tonic and ginger makes Coke. It's one of the ones with bitters.
Oh, that sounds weird.
It's backup weird gangster stuff that you learn how to do.
I'm going to Google it.
There's definitely, it's one of those combos. And I just honestly,
we should post that online because that's interesting. Yeah.
It's all these cheats that like how to do it. Like, and when I was reading about them, I was like, oh, I've had to do that before. Or like if I'm a bartender, I never learned how to be a server once, you know, like it wasn't anything I've ever done. And then I had to start serving tables. I was like, I've done
both. I think I started, I've done door hosting kind of thing for restaurants. I did it for nightclubs. I did VIP booking stuff. I did bartending. I did serving. I did the whole nine yards. Like,
now, after I left the hotel side, which I only was at for like maybe less than a year, I went straight into bartending. And then hotel side, I was on the front desk, so I wasn't doing anything like that. Bar side, I was in the bar the whole time. We had waiters and stuff like that that would do their waiting job. Like, the first time I had to be a waiter was at this Chinese restaurant called Shanghai 1930, which I used to work at in San Francisco. And, like, they would have, like, these beautiful fish that would come out. And the waiter would, like, take two spoons and do the whole bone fillet thing, like, at one time. And then I have to go to the table and do the same thing. And I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to do this.
You know, I really like serving. It's, like, I think the only reason why I don't do it more often is because it's one of those careers that has kind of a limitation. You know, for growth, I feel like when you're bartending, there are more opportunities out there. You do more events and guest shifts, and you get more of a recognizable name, and you just can invest more as a career. But when you are serving, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of what it is. So, yeah, but I love it.
I mean, I don't dislike it. I do like it when, like, I'm slammed if I'm a waiter. Like, I've had to do it at Tacalicious. I've had to, like, obviously you wear many hats. But like, I like it if there's like two bartenders, the kitchen's working, and I'm just taking orders and putting them in, and I realize I don't have to make anything.
Yeah.
It's so much easier stuff.
I also, it's so weird because also I worked in hotels F&B, right? And they have massive rules about using trays. I'm really good at carrying trays full of stuff. Like, I'm really good. It's like a skill that I have. It's like carrying trays, one hand, everything up.
Have you ever seen those pictures like at those like, what's that German festival? Oktoberfest.
Oh, that they grab all the beers?
All the beers. That's cool.
That I can't do.
That's cool.
Hurts your hand. I tried before. Like,
oh, really?
So heavy.
Okay, what's another thing that you don't expect you have to learn how to do in a bar or restaurant? Oh, you know what it is? Taking photos,
yeah. That's definitely...
I'm good now. Like, if it's a group, I could get you. With anybody's phone now.
I'm good with photos. I'm a little less with videos. I feel like videos are a little harder.
Videos, but people don't really ask you to take too many videos.
When you were trying for marketing purposes, like when you try to record a video. It's a bit harder.
For that kind of stuff, it's better to have some raw footage and then have an app that helps you with it.
Yeah.
But you know me, I like AI and apps. But yeah, no, taking photos, I could get you with any camera now. I know how to take a good photo. And that takes a lot of practice. Some people are born with it. Like, we have a friend named Graham Kennedy who took some great photos of Anna and I at Feast, and we posted them already. And then our friends that took the same photos of us, terrible photos of me. Anna looked cool. I looked terrible. So I will say, like, taking a photo as a bartender or F&B person, super interesting skill that you don't think you would have to pick up on.
People skills as well, like disengaging with people. They are trying a little too hard.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like people that really want your attention, really want to engage, and you have to disengage, or just dealing with people, being in a mood. It's kind of almost like daycare for grown-ups, right? And it's kind of like getting them to go home and take a nap.
Well, it is daycare for adults. I mean, that's what, you know, after a couple of drinks, people do the recidivism, can't say that word, right, is really strong for adults to turn into children. I think another interesting thing is I don't know how to draw. I can't. My handwriting is poor. I could do cursive, but not well. But you have to learn how to write nice, because eventually you're going to have to write something on a chalkboard. That just happens when you're bartending or as a waiter. There's always one person picked that could draw well or write well at every single restaurant.
Yeah, I cannot do like well. I can do like shitty, but on purpose. Like it kind of looks like it's supposed to be a little weird.
But yeah, it's one of those things you're like, why does my handwriting matter? And you're like, oh, it does. It matters a lot for F&B. Because sometimes you have like, we have chalkboard stuff all over here. And it's just like, I can't draw anything on it. So we kind of leave it black. And then I guess another one, and this is going to be an interesting thing. You have to be a human calculator at all times. This is back in the day more. I think now it's okay. But like you get a bill and people want to split their bills, or like the hero of the party is the one that says, I'll pay the bill, everybody, you pay me. But other times you have people that want to split a bill. And you're like, okay, well, you owe $1,402 and you owe $1,687. And you're like, okay, and then you just start writing this down and then checking off who paid. Because I can't do math that fast.
Oh, my God. The splitting of the bills, though. Although, luckily, because of, like, digital money nowadays, like, it's not really a big deal anymore. People would just split with their friends. But remember when people used to come with, like, 10 credit cards and, like, just split the bill and you're like, oh.
Yeah, tell me that in the beginning. That's why I always ask people, even when they come now, are you paying together or separate? Don't surprise us.
Yeah, just to, like, save on that. I agree.
Yeah, because then it's like, okay, we got you. No problem. Anything last skill, I would say, for me, it's design, because you always have to make sure the bar and restaurant looks cool if you're in a managing position. Like if you're on the floor, sometimes you don't care, but like you have to have an eye for detail. Like I know we have TVs that play our videos and promotions, and I'll be here at work sometimes and one of the TVs will be off, or one of the TVs will be playing commercials. I'll be like, guys, nobody sees what I'm seeing. Oh, sorry, we didn't see it. And it's like, well, you've been here all day.
Yeah, oh, like when the music is off. Yeah,
the music's off.
Or the lights are too bright and it's just like you call them out and they're like, oh.
I didn't know. And this is everywhere in the world. It's not just in one place. It's every place I've ever worked at. Just people getting their own, like especially floor people maybe, or the staff that aren't managers. They're sometimes just here for a check. And, you know, good on them for that.
I don't know if it's necessarily that. I think some people just don't clock in that the music is not on for some reason. I think it's just they don't care that much. It's just like an ambience thing for them.
Yeah.
So they just don't realize, but yeah, it's been a constant for me too.
Drives me absolutely nuts. But I mean, it's one of those things is you learn on the job. That's the fun thing about F&B is you really do learn interesting things like how to use it. I mean, I've never really done carpentry till I started with this.
I never done it. I'm not good at carpentry. I don't think I can like,
yeah, I mean,
stuff like that.
I'm like doing carpentry. I'm measuring stuff out all the time. I'm like helping build, like we always have something break. So I'm helping build tables. I'm like, No.
Oh, I'm a duct tape enthusiast. I can fix anything with duct tape and some super glue.
Duct tape it till you make it.
Yeah, I want like a hammer and a nail and somehow we rig it and it'll work.
Yeah. So Anna, what do you got for us from Reddit? You got anything?
Oh, I do have a couple things from Reddit. Let me pull it out.
Excuse me while I whip this out. That'd be a good sound effect to have.
Sorry guys, just 1 second opening up. All right, so actually, someone was asking online as well the same questions, and I thought we could discuss the comments.
Sure.
So somebody asked, unexpected skills bartending has taught you. And they said, I was discussing with a coworker, and what are some things that you just learned through bartending? I bartended a nightclub, and I've gotten really good at reading lips.
Oh, that's smart. That makes sense.
Yeah, I also say my hand-eye coordination and use of my left hand have vastly improved. That's true. We become more ambidextrous because you're always doing things with both hands. So the first comment, the top comment is, I hear everything. And that's true. I became really good at listening to conversations, especially if I'm inside the bar.
Yes, yes.
Not because I'm trying to hear what people say, but just in case they're asking for something or in case they need something. So that's one thing. Sorry, I'm trying to read the next ones. It's a lot of comments in here.
Well, no, I mean, that makes sense. You do have to read lips. You do have, like, I always tell bartenders, like, you have two hands. Don't shake one drink at a time. Like, shake two drinks at a time. Like, stop. Like, you can make all the drinks in a line if you have eight drinks. You could set it up, knock it out, and then if it's ice drink, you make that last. If it's chicken drink, you start doing it. Get the order in your mind, and you can knock out eight drinks in the same time it takes you to make, like, two drinks.
Someone is saying, my reflexes and peripheral vision. It's true. Sometimes you feel something is going to fall and you just grab it before it falls, or you're just really good at realizing what's happening around you even when you're not directly looking. Like when somebody's trying to order on the table, put their hand up, you kind of see. Every time you get like a junior staff and you put them on the bar or on the floor, people will be with their hands up trying to get their attention and they just don't see it.
Well, the one thing I will say about the reflex thing, you also have to teach yourself not to reflex sometimes. Like we've all had it. I don't know if you've had it. I can't say we've all, but I know I've had instances, and I know a lot of my chef friends have, where they drop a knife and they go to catch it.
Oh, yeah. That's a
reflex. I think everybody's done it.
He has done it to me. I have done it.
Like, you have to literally, like, pause your brain. I don't know how to explain it, but, like, your brain sees something falling, and you have to stop it yourself because you'll grab a knife.
Yeah, you're going
to
grab it, yeah. I have grabbed, like, a knife.
Everybody's grabbed a knife. Yeah. Like, it's a mark of passage.
It's like, damn, yeah.
That's so stupid. Why did I do
that? Why did I do that? And you're just so used to seeing something as like glass to get about to fall. So you just grab it. And yeah. I have done for a knife too. Luckily, I didn't cut myself too bad.
Yeah.
Only the tip hit a little bit of my palm. Another one is face to drink preference memorization.
Yes.
Like you don't know their name. We don't know who they are. But you look at their faces and you're like, Negroni.
Yeah. That's most of you guys out there. That's... Like, if you're F&B worth their salt, even, like, a regular that comes in and sits down at a table and the waiter's like, oh, your usual? They might not know your name, but they know exactly what you eat or drink, you know? And I think that's a very good skill.
That's another one that we talked about. Conflict de-escalation, multitasking, and social skills.
Yep.
Right? The next one, how to get blood out of almost everything.
Yeah.
Like fabrics or an apron or floor. There's always something. Don't you talk yourself out of anything. Same person, by the way. Yeah. How to clean bathrooms.
Yeah, I think we covered that one.
How to fake being happy.
Yeah.
Let me see. Setting boundaries and being assertive was one. Not be so sensitive. Did not work for me.
Yeah, you can't be sensitive and you have to be used to being touched by other people. Like when bartending... And being a chef as well, you're a lot of behind. You're not like touching somebody's butt, but like you are like pushing them by the shoulders. Like some people don't like to be touched too much.
Yeah.
And other people, you know, you get offended. And it's like I was joking a couple podcasts ago when I told my friend Oscar that I don't like to be hugged. Everybody loves to be hugged. I was being funny about it, but I'm so used to people just like grabbing me and like, hey, Logan, behind, move, you know, and they'll just move you. And it's not because they're mad at you. It's just get out of the way. I need to get this ice tray or I need to get this whatever it is.
Somebody made a list. It's a good one. That's what we're talking about.
Okay, list us.
So this guy said, I took a job as a manager in a small neighborhood cocktail bar, and I consider myself a plumber, carpenter, electrician, IT guy, and psychiatrist. Sometimes I get to make drinks.
That makes sense.
And then somebody added to the list. I'll add to your list. Building manager, conflict resolution specialist, sound technician, janitor, police liaison, exterminator. Exterminator is a good one,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's a very good one.
Animal control officer, propane and gas technician, so many more.
Well, yeah, I mean, do we have them yet, the flying ants? Do we miss that season?
It kind of just happened with short.
Yeah.
It was short and easy this time.
Hey, we have these flying...
So far.
Yeah, oh, you the plum rains.
I was right.
Yeah, you were right. Now, we have these flying ants that are usually attack
termites.
Everything.
The termites.
But yeah, they we didn't have them this season, but you have to know what to do with them and how to do it, you know, because it's nasty.
Yeah, but I'm glad that this was a short season. Sometimes they go a little insane.
Yeah. Well, we haven't had any cicadas yet either, so like it's...
Cicadas come after the plumbers.
But the plumbers, I mean, this week notwithstanding, I thought they were over.
They're almost over.
Yeah. But you are the plum rain whisperer.
The specialist.
The specialist.
I just feel it in the air.
You feel it. You're like...
It's like Game of Thrones. I'm like, winter is coming.
Yeah, you're the brand of plum rains.
That's all I say. And then they come on like, they're here.
Or you're like Hodor.
The White Walkers.
Plum Rain.
They're coming.
Plum Rain.
And the White Walkers are the termites. They're coming.
Okay, so Anna, you got any interesting drinks you've been having this week?
These are the drinks.
Let me think about it. Oh, actually, I do. I tried a really, really delicious Negroni variation made with rum, but like with Bacardi 8.
Oh, nice.
Sherry, Campari, and a little bit of a... I think it's cacao infused, so a little bit of chocolatiness to it. And it was a lovely drink. It was really nice.
I love sherry. I think that makes it elevates a lot of drinks because it's such a unique flavor, but people don't... They like it, but they don't know what it is.
Yeah, no. It's very, very delicious. And it has like a chocolate rim in it, but it's still like a very bold, strong drink. The name was in Chinese. That's why I actually don't know the name. But it was the street where the bar is at. So probably Zhangguo Lu, but
okay.
As in... I couldn't read the character, guessing it is a street name. And yeah, it was really nice. It's in this little new cocktail bar that I'm helping consulting a lot of the events and the marketing. And yeah, spot on.
Just speaking of those kind of streets with a lot of bars on them, like I was walking around Fumenlu. I was looking for Lucky Mart, and I kept walking down the street. Lucky Mart's this amazing bar owned by our friend Camden, run by a wonderful girl named Vivian. They do highballs, and they do highballs right. And I was walking down the streets, just walking around last night, and there was maybe a block of like 20 bars, all tiny little bars about the size of the taco truck, and every one of them were full, and it was all local bars with highballs. And it was super fun. It was like a unique scene. I hadn't really been in that scene before. And like I walked into a couple of them, but I was like the oldest dude there. And so like it was a little bit weird because I was like, just highball me, you know, gin soda me, whatever. Just I wanted to see the places. And everything was like 30 RMB, so it was super, super fair priced. But it was so interesting to see that scene. But the drink I was drinking, just to go back to it, I made a drink last Tuesday called the Mango Sassy.
Yes, I saw that on the
menu. Yeah, I was really proud of that pun as well. It was a sassy version of a mango lassi. I think a mango lassi, like, it was really hot last week. Like, I've taken to just wearing shorts at all times because it's just, I melt otherwise. But it was so hot last week, and I was like, okay, what's going to cool this down? Mango Sassies. So that was a really fun drink to do. I feel a mango lassi with like tequila or vodka or something like that would be a great frozen margarita.
Yes, I think it would too.
Like in the slush machine, that would be heaven.
I just like anything like yogurty. Yeah. Like...
I think we should blend some up on these days. Like next event, we'll make something fun like that.
Yeah.
Because that seems like a fun drink. And I don't think anybody really, I mean, maybe not in our realm has done that.
And especially for the summer.
Yeah. And you can put some cardamom in it, make like spice it up just a pinch with some, we can make fun.
Ooh, and some curry as well.
Some like kefir lime leaves. Okay, guys, looking forward to our next pop-up when Anna and I make Mango Sassies, the frozen version.
Yes, I'm down.
Uh-oh. Anna, do you hear that noise?
No.
Okay, well,
Logan is hearing his imaginary blender.
I'm hearing the blender. I don't know. Oh, it's our friend Jason Bridgie is in the other room ordering blended daiquiris. Thanks, Jason. He knows we're podcasting, and he's waving at me as he orders a blended daiquiri. Jason's a fan of the podcast, and so I'm not going to give him an FU, but thanks, Jason. And I mean, guys, anything else to say, Anna?
No, I think we're good. I think we can wrap it up.
Yeah, I think what we're going to start doing is calling these shorter podcast shots. And we'll do a long-form podcast every once in a while, and that's going to be our long drinks.
That's great, actually. Our highballs.
Our highballs. I like that.
Shots of highballs.
So, guys, this was our first shot of the season. We want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for wherever you are. Thanks for all the feedback and the positive comments. If you're on Spotify, you could pull down on this podcast and leave a comment right in Spotify. We have a transcript for everything, so if you're an Apple or Spotify, there's a transcript. In Apple Podcasts, you could actually hit the transcript button and it'll go to your favorite part of the podcast. So that's actually pretty cool. Guys, we'll see you on the next one. This has been China on the Rocks.
Bye.
Cheers.